All right, so we're going to open the word today is Psalm 19. Last week, we were looking at, we're in the middle of a series here on habits of grace is what we're calling it. And that's just in the goal here and the concern is to encourage us to develop habits in our life, receiving God's grace by way of his word and prayer, fellowship with one another. And last week we talked about taking time to meditate in his word, right? Just to take time to meditate in his word. Something I wanted to add to that, I kind of gave the example of even just taking a small section, maybe a verse or just a couple verses, and really just looking at those verses and considering how they impact you and us as a body of Christ, praying and thanking God for what it is that he's sharing in those verses. But that same heart and mentality can be taken to a whole chapter or even a whole book. Sometimes you're spending more time than just reading a verse. Right, that you're reading through a whole chapter and you're contemplating on what the whole tapestry of that chapter is saying, what the whole heart of God's word is saying. Does that make sense? Sometimes your meditation it goes from Genesis to Revelation. You know, and just in your thinking about how, you know, all these different connections and how things play out. But just taking that time to really press that word of God into our heart. And again, while even memorization can be such a helpful thing to get the word of God into my mind and then into my heart, that time of meditation really gets the power of what's being said, the heart of what's being said into my own heart. Even if I don't remember the exact words, my heart begins to change. My mind begins to renew to the truths of who my God is and his reality, right? One of the things we talked about, and this is where we're going today, is just letting that word of God inspire us to pray and bring us to prayer. So as we move from directly talking about the word of God into prayer, I want to take it from that perspective. I'm going to start here in Psalm 19. But as we talk about prayer, my prayer this morning is not so much that you come away with a list of principles to follow or three facts about prayer that you can keep in your pocket and pull out when you want. It's more that you would receive a sense of the heart of prayer and what real prayer, what really Christian prayer is meant to be, what it looks like and what joy comes from it. I'll just leave it there. So let's start. We're going to read Psalm 19, and it may not be immediately apparent why we're reading Psalm 19, but we'll get there, okay? So I'm going to read it from the top here. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And Father, I just want to thank you for your word, and I want to thank you for this morning where we can open it together and receive it together and just enjoy it to your praise and your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ. You know, people find it difficult, and I think we can all appreciate this, that sometimes prayer can feel difficult because it feels like a one-way conversation. Do you ever feel like praying, saying things, but I'm not hearing back? I'm not hearing the words. I'm talking to him, but he doesn't seem to be talking to me. I've felt that way. I've heard people say that to me. I'm asking for things, maybe even things that I see I can ask for in his word, and he doesn't seem to be answering me. I think sometimes what that reveals is really kind of a misunderstanding of this prayer, what prayer is at its foundation. True prayer, true Christian prayer, is actually not me-focused. True prayer is God-focused. Okay? And here's something that's really cool, and I want you to see, and what we'll see as we go back into Psalms, is that prayer is our response in a conversation that's already been opened by God through his word and through his creation. So the conversation was already started, and it wasn't you who started it. You see? And you stop and meditate on this fact that the creator of the heavens and the earth has chosen to speak to us, to reveal his heart, to reveal his will, and his future plans. And then he invites us to speak to him, and he says that his ear is open to our prayer. Isn't that cool? The creator of the heavens and the earth has done this. So the conversation has already started. And God is not quiet. He's not silent in it. You understand? So this is with the heart that, and why we looked at being in his word first and meditating in his word. As we let that word of God meditate in our heart, as I consider what he said to me, my heart begins then to respond in prayer back to him. And that prayer is not primarily me-focused. It's actually focused on him. Psalm 34 says, "The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." Psalm 19 here is really a beautiful example of how the knowledge of God's existence and the knowledge of his word leads us to rich prayer relationship with him. Okay, so consider this here. Look at the first six verses. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There's no speech, there are no words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving its chamber. And like a strong man runs its course with joy, its rising is from the end of heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there's nothing hidden from its heat." Who here has ever seen the sunrise? Right? Who here has ever seen the heavens, right? The night sky, right? We all have, right? Every human being that's ever existed. It's why Romans 1 says they are without excuse. There's no excuse. There is a creator, right? And so even in the creation itself, God is speaking to his created beings. Right, cool. This is something that can be such a beautiful thing in prayer, right? You go for a prayer walk and you see a butterfly flitting by and you consider the beauty of the butterfly. And then it turns to God. You created the butterfly. You're so incredible. Thank you for creating that butterfly. You know, you see a flower, you bend down to smell it. You know, I like flowers and butterflies, so. And it's beautiful. You know, consider how that, just in the way that God speaks in nature and the beauty of things, right, that he's created. Maybe it's not a flower and a butterfly. Maybe it's something else. You pick, you know, what is it that strikes your heart, you know, that gives you awe for him? Let it draw you into conversation with him. He's there. Praise him for it. You see how beautiful that is? The psalmist is showing us this example. Then look at this in verse 7. This leads into meditation on the word of God. Look at where the psalmist goes next in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. He's considering what the word of God does. Man, God, your law is perfect and it revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. So now the psalmist goes from considering God's created world and how it declares his great glory to his written word and how beautiful and pure and life-giving are his written words, right? That meditation on his word. And then as we go into verse 11, look at this in verse 11. There's a switch here. And it says, moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. You see that, how the psalmist begins talking about, wow, look, God's word is so cool. Look at what God's word does. Look at how it cares. Look at his creation. And then in verse 11, it's, God, by your word, your servant is warned. Who can discern his errors? Who can even know his own errors? God, declare me innocent from hidden faults. Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant, me. Keep me back from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Right? So that then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Then look at this verse 14. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Do you see the intimacy that's there? And then look at this. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I love how personal that is. He's given this word. This word of God is to all people. Really, all generations, right? It begins at the beginning, and there's words, and it incrementally builds. But the word of God is to all people of all generation. Such a huge group of people over all of history and even into the future. But it's, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You see, as that psalmist contemplates on the creation, contemplates on the word of God, and then it turns to praise and to prayer to God, who's my rock and my redeemer. You see that? And that's my encouragement as we go. I want you to see that God is speaking. He is speaking. He has spoken. He's opened the conversation. Join the conversation in prayer to him. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to start here in verse 5. It says here, well, let's start in verse 1, actually. I'm going to start verse 1, then I'll pop down to verse 5. In verse 1, it says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Okay? And the Lord is setting up here a heart. It's not that we're being told never to do godly, righteous things in front of other people. That's not the point. The point is the heart here. Why am I doing what I'm doing, right? Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. Drop down to verse 5. It says here, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Do you see the contrast here? The one person has lost sight of the fact that God actually exists, right? And honestly, here, even in private, I can lose sight of that, right? I can be practicing my righteousness for me so that I can say, "Good job, Jim. Did the Christian thing today. Check. Moving on." You understand? But the other one who goes into the closet, closes the door, and prays to his Father who's in secret, recognizes, hey, God is really real. I don't need any of you to see that to satisfy me. I don't need to satisfy a checkbox or some sense of accomplishment because I prayed today. You see what I'm saying? Because he's real. That's even kind of foolish to even think of that when you consider the fact that he is real. What does it say? I love this verse. I'm going to just read it to you. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it's talking about our wonderful forefathers that went before us in faith. And it says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God," in other words, whoever wants to draw near to God, "must believe that he exists and that he rewards those that seek him." Isn't that cool? First, I got to really believe he exists, right? I know it sounds silly. Of course he exists. That's why we're all here. But sometimes I lose sight of that fact in prayer. This is where allowing his word to soak into me, and then from there going into prayer, and oftentimes starting with praise, thanksgiving for what it is he's already done, can be just so helpful to open that door and recognize his existence. And then, what is it that we are seeking? It's him. We're seeking him. The prayer is primarily him-focused, not me-focused. That's really what Christian prayer is. Let's read, continuing on in Matthew 6. Look at this. "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." What a verse to know that. Your Father knows your need before you even ask him. You know, later on down in this chapter, Jesus says, "Look at the birds of the air. You know, they don't sow, they don't reap. Your Heavenly Father takes care of them. How about the grass of the field?" Right? In another place he says, you can purchase 5 sparrows for like a couple bucks. And yet, Not one of them falls from the sky and God doesn't know it. You see that? Okay, so does he know my need? He absolutely knows my need before I even ask him. The primary purpose of prayer is to seek him. Getting my needs met is not the primary purpose of prayer. It isn't. And that, you know, may be kind of sharp to hear that. But I'll tell you, this is important because life is so much bigger than the needs that I have. So much more going on. Now, we're going to talk about this, though. Okay? Prayer is really, it's a grace that helps us get our heart in alignment with his. I think you've heard me say that before, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. You know, if I'm approaching prayer from the standpoint of me trying to get God to see things my way, I'm missing the point. I'm actually entering into prayer to seek his way. Does that make sense? I want my heart and my eyes to see things from his perspective because he already knows what I have need of before I even ask him. I don't know what I have need of, truthfully. Neither do you. You see it? We're going and seeking him. Need may very well be the thing that initially drives us to prayer, and it's not wrong to have a need, and it's not wrong to go to God with that need. But if it's only about the need and presenting a checklist item of things that I want, and I walk away from prayer still just concerned about that, I kind of reveal where my heart's at. And that is that these things I want are more important to me than him. You see what I'm saying? The things that I want, that list of things I want, have actually taken priority over him, which is the reason I'm entering into prayer to begin with. The beauty of this prayer that we're talking about is that we enter in, we may enter in, you know, consumed with worry or fear, or doubt, feelings of inadequacy or guilt maybe. But in prayer, we remember his goodness, his faithfulness, his love for us, the fact that he's redeemed us from sin, redeemed us back to himself. You see how beautiful that can be? That famous section in prayer that we think about maybe often, I do, in Philippians, be anxious for nothing, right? Be anxious for nothing. Pretty much any need or anything that comes up in life that's a struggle, issues and anxiety, does it not? And the Word of God says, don't be anxious, but then what does it say? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Right? Do you remember that? And what's the answer to that prayer? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Right? The answer to the prayer is not always getting what I want. The answer to the prayer is my mind and my heart being guarded in the peace of God. Because I've just sought him. Do you see that? And I've entered into my seeking him with thanksgiving for the things that he's already done and the knowledge that he already knows what I have need of before I even asked him. You see that? So the comfort of that relationship with him. I want to go to Psalm 22. And I'll tell you, this blessed me this week looking at this psalm. Because one thing you'll see in the Psalms is just, you'll see the internal struggle sometimes of being a human. And I want to point out a couple of things. We're not going to read the whole verse, the whole chapter. But look at this Psalm 22. Look at where it starts. Look where the psalmist starts. my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Isn't that wild? What a way to open a prayer, right? God, why have you left me? You're not listening to me. You don't hear me. This is how it feels, right? But look at this. Look what the psalmist does. And I just love this. Again, as you go through these, some of these psalms that we're going to look at, you see that it's toward God. Even in the psalmist's distress, you're going to see how the goal here of the prayer is to seek and to find him. Okay? Look at this. Verse 3. Yet you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. Oh, but look it. Now I'm starting to get the feels again. Verse 6. But I'm a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their head. He trusted in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet, God, you're the one that took me from the womb, right? You made me trust on you and my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you've been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Do you see the heart there? Right? Hey, the need is driving this person to prayer. That sense of being forsaken, whatever it is that's going on here. And we know this psalm very well as prophetic of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. But you see how there's that back and forth. But you, God, this is who you are. I remember who you are. I know who the fathers have said that you are and how you delivered them. So what's the psalmist doing? He's putting his heart's trust back in the hands of God. I love how this psalm ends, because if you go over to verse 22, starting there and through the rest of the psalm is the psalmist extolling and praising God. Verse 22 says, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All the offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. All of you, offspring of Israel, for he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. And he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. Isn't that powerful? Do you see the heart change as the psalmist enters the prayer in distress? And then as he fellowships with God through God's word, the heart changes to one of praise and recognition of who God is. You could stop and consider, let's go to Psalm 119. There's a section there I want to look at. Psalm 119. And this pattern is just beautifully everywhere. Psalm 119, and I'm going to read 33 through 40. And we'll just enjoy this here. Look at this. Again, just a beautiful example. All of Psalm 119 is a beautiful example of going to God in meditating on his word and praying it, praying towards him in light of his word. But verse 33 says here, look at this. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I'll keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law, and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to me, your servant, your promise, confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. You see the beauty of this thing? I love here, in verse 36, incline my heart. God, take my heart and incline it to your testimonies, your word, in contrast to selfish gain. Hmm. Isn't that cool? That one strikes me, right? Because so much of prayer sometimes in my life has been, Father, I need this. Father, I need that. I'd like this. I'd like that. Heal me there. Give me the job. I need the money. I need the house. I need a car. I need that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So are those things inherently bad or wrong? Well, they're not inherently bad or wrong, but I'll tell you, if those things are more important than the relationship I have with him, then yes, they're idols. Understand? They're things that I've put above him. And here, this is such a beautiful example because it says, God, I need your help to incline my heart to your word instead of selfish gain. Isn't that cool? Turn my eyes, God, from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. You see that? You see that prayer? I'll tell you, a prayer like that gets answered. A prayer like that gets answered. And consider these. We've read in the last number of weeks or so, we've gone to some of the prayers in like Ephesians. But if you consider some of Paul's prayers in the epistles, okay, what's more needful and actually more fulfilling, right? That I get that perfect job that I want, or that the eyes of my heart are enlightened to really know the hope that I've been called to? Which one? Which one really is better? Right? How about this? That I'm healed from an illness, or that I know the love of Christ and am filled with all the fullness of God? Which one's better? You understand? That the trial I'm going through goes away, or, as is prayed in Colossians, that being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, so that no matter what comes, I have endurance, I have joy, and I have strength. You see? So what the challenge is sometimes our prayer life switches over to praying for the things instead of seeking the God who provides and cares for us. You see that? You see that difference? An answer to a prayer like this, that my eyes would be open, that I would see, that I would understand, that I would know my Christ, that I would be filled with the love of God, that I would be filled with all the fullness of God, eclipses all the needs that you've ever had in your life. Because the truth is that God who you then know and see and understand already knows the needs that you have before you've even asked him for them. You see? So that's my encouragement today. And just to really enter prayer as a response to his word, as a response to who he is as the creator. Enjoy his presence. He's with you always. You know? It's important to take that time, set a time aside to pray. But prayer is a lifestyle. And prayer is something that in his presence is done all day long through the day. You know? And there's really such joy, and the joy of Christianity is going to be found in the relationship that you have with him, not in the gifts that he gives. Okay, I think that's where I want to close for now. So, I'll pray. All right, hey Father, I'm just very, very thankful for. We're thankful. For you. We're thankful for each other. We're thankful that we could open your word, that you make it known to us, Father, that you've revealed yourself. You've revealed yourself through our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for each heart in this room. I pray for just our hearts to be inspired, Father, to speak with you, to converse with you, to let your word soak in deep, and just to enjoy your very presence in our life. We thank you and we praise you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.